thank you first of all for being here. Thank you next for your prayers. And thank you again for your selection of songs. I had a selection early in the service. There is a name I love to hear. I love to tell his word. But someone else come along and selected another one, and I said, that can't beat mine that I already had, but they did. They selected 19. Number 19. Did you notice how many songs were concerning Jesus Christ? Our love for Him, His love for us, our joy in praising Him. Number 19 didn't say there's a name I love to hear. It didn't sing about Jesus. But number 19 sang or was addressed directly to Jesus. My Jesus, I love you. I know that you're mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I loved you, my Jesus, 'tis now. My Jesus, 'tis now. Brother Jerry, would you come out and come lead us in our prayer? I'm sorry to ask you to have to get out. I know it's going to be difficult. Let's bow it with Brother Jerry as he leads us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Graciously Father, we're so thankful for this day. We're thankful for thy abundance of love. We're thankful for the love of one another. Dear Lord, this touching of the heart brings such joy in families, in friends, in marriages. Dear Lord, this gift is from only thee. Love is placed within us. Dear Lord, let us consider it a blessing, for we thrive on it. Dear Lord, lead us in the way of love. We need it. We beg of thee. Dear Lord, as we come to praise thee with word and song, open our heart and let us receive this to glorify thee. Dear Lord, let these words be a blessing and a guidance as we go our way. Be with the ones that's not here today, dear Lord. Comfort them, and only as thou can. Answer each prayer. Lay thy hand of comfort upon each one. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Again, I ask that you pray while that I shall try to speak to you. I need your help. I'm going to try to talk to you from the Gospel of John today. My beginning text is going to be in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John, but that's not where I'm going to spend the majority of the time, I don't believe. Amen. I'm going to start right in the middle of a paragraph, if you'll allow me to. 12th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how that you prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They came inquiring. They had heard about this man. The Pharisees responded in this way: "Don't you see how that we prevail nothing against him?" They were talking about prevailing against him. "Behold, the world is gone after him." Then we hear of one, people come for Greeks, I'm sorry. There were certain Greeks. I was trying to find my word there. Greeks, see if it's plural or single. I thought it was plural. Certain Greeks came among them and came to worship at his feast. The same, therefore, came to Philip, and I've already read that. Jesus, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip then cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew tells Philip, and Philip tells Jesus. The information got back to Jesus. There's some Greeks here, and they want to see you. They want to have an audience with you. Have you ever felt like that you'd like to sit down and visit just a little while with Jesus? Just have a heart-to-heart talk with him? Well, maybe you haven't exactly done that this morning. But I think you have effectively done that, in that you have expressed your love to him in so many beautiful, glorious ways. And certainly, there's reason for you to rejoice as you begin. Now, then Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Dropping down to verse 26. "For if any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." What I want out of that text there is, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall my servants be. You know, I got to looking at Jesus Christ in his travels, and then all of his teachings and things like that, and you know, there was a pretty good crowd with Jesus just about everywhere he went. There was the ones that were trying to discredit him, and then there was the multitude that was grabbing a hold of every opportunity, if you please, to praise, honor, adore, to lift up, to express their love to this one. Now if you'll turn to the 17th chapter of John. I've spent a lot of time, if you've been close observers, I've spent a lot of time in the last several months in chapters 13 through the end of the chapter of the Gospel of John. And just as a matter of curiosity, I got to looking here just a short time ago, and I wondered, well, just how many times did Jesus pray in the last couple of day, or the last day of his life, before his crucifixion? When he was at the feast of the Passover. He took bread and blessed it. Isn't that prayer? He took bread and blessed it in the name of the Father and said to his disciples, take and eat. This is my body which is shed, given for you. Likewise, he took the cup and prayed to the Lord and gave the cup to them and said, you drink all of it. So we find that there's twice, right quickly there, that the Lord prayed. The progression of events from the time that he washed the disciples' feet and instituted what we call the Lord's Supper. We find that there was a band that came to him, led by, if you please, a man by the name of Judas, who betrayed him and delivered him into the hands of those that were going to crucify him. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in giving their accounts of these things that takes place, there's one thing they don't mention. That's all right. But there's one prayer that Jesus prayed, and if I'm wrong, you correct me. One prayer that Jesus prayed, Matthew didn't record it, Mark didn't record it, Luke didn't record it, but John did. I'm going to place that prayer, if I may, between, if you please, between the Feast of the Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper. I want to place it between that and the Gethsemane experience. And Gethsemane. I'm going to place it next, if you please. I said earlier that Jesus seemed to always have a crowd with him. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we find this language, verse 29. And his disciples said unto him, now, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that we should ask thee. By this we believe that thou came forth from God. By the things that we have observed, we believe you came forth from God. Jesus answered and said, do you now believe? And I'm going to just skip the rest of that. I don't really believe I want that. It's not bad scripture, it's just that I don't want that. These words, 7:17 of John. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. These words, I want to notice with you that his disciples were with him as he prayed this prayer. His disciples were there with him and they heard this prayer. And if we look at the first verse of chapter 18, this is going to the end of the prayer. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples. His disciples were with him over there and he prayed that prayer. And when he had completed that, when Jesus completed these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. Wanted to notice with you that his disciples heard. His disciples heard the prayer that's recorded in John 17. But it's kind of like these songs that we sang this morning. When we were singing those songs, who was the object of our attention? Who was it we were thinking about? Was it Grandma? Was it Uncle John? Was it a football player? Was it the candidate for the President of the United States? No, that name, those people didn't come into our thinking at all. For we had our mind and our attention centered upon the lovely Lamb of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven. Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. He gave a model, if you please, a model prayer, how that we should pray. But Jesus, not only on the Sermon on the Mount, but here, my friend, by his own action, by his own prayer, he gave an example for those disciples that were following him. He gave an example for them. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. That's what we're here for, is to glorify the Lord, to praise the Lord, to rejoice in the wonderful works of the Lord. There's just so much. I was going to just use the bottom end of this chapter here, but I don't know whether I can or not. There's so much that I love. In the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, this is a prayer that came from the lips of your Lord and my Lord. This is a prayer that came from the lips of that one who died to save us from our sins. This is the one that loved us. And no wonder we say we love him. His love has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which has been given to us. So then he looks, as he said, Father, you glorify the Son, that the Son may also glorify thee. He speaks of some of the work that he was sent to accomplish. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. There's about two different one-hour sermons in those little portions of Scripture right there. Under an obligation. And this is life eternal, that may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. Jesus said, I have glorified my Father on earth. What better desire can you and I have this morning than to glorify our Father and his Son? Oh, how I love Jesus. We praise thee, O God, another song says, for the Son of thy love. For Jesus who saved us and is now gone above. Hallelujah. With thine own self, with the glory that I had with you before the world was. A little sidelight, friends, while we're there. Read the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John sometime and count the number of times the word world appears in it. I came out with 17. 17 times in such a short scripture. He's given him power, and that he should give eternal life to how many? To as many as God the Father has given to him. So he's under an obligation. And this is life eternal, that may know thee, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. Jesus said, I have glorified my Father on earth. What better desire can you and I have this morning than to glorify our Father and His Son? Oh, how I love Jesus. We praise Thee, O God, another song says, for the Son of Thy love. For Jesus who saved us and is now gone above. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Thine the glory. Revive us again. And now, Jesus said, I've glorified you, Father. And now I'm going to call on you, Father, to glorify me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with you before the world was. A little sidelight, friends, while we're there. Read the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John sometime and count the number of times the word world appears in it. I came out with 17. 17 times in such a short scripture, the word world came. And friend, if you make that word world mean the same thing in every case, you're in trouble. I'm not going to try to divide those things. But sometimes, whenever the word world was mentioned, it meant this earth, where the animals roam the hills, and where you and I have our home, and where we plant our fields, and all of those kind of things, talking about the earth, our place of abode. This is our place of abode. Sometimes, that's where the world means. Sometimes, the world, spoken of in here, means the elect, the chosen, the redeemed world. Jesus Christ came to save the world of His chosen, of His redeemed. Other times, it means the inhabitants of this earth that have no favor with God. Some people call them, and it's all right, the non-elect. Those for whom Jesus did not die. The world. He said the world hated them because they were not of the world. The world, verse 14. I have given them thy word, speaking of his disciples. I've given those disciples that you gave me, I've given them your word, and the world hath hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not for the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. Back to the Sermon on the Mount. What do we pray? Deliver us from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Oh, how I love Jesus this morning. I want to drop down to a little bit. There's so much that I'm just skipping over here. I hope I don't skip over too much. But I invite and encourage you, as I have in recent months, to read, study, and rejoice in the Gospel of John, particularly from the beginning of chapter 13 until the end of the book. It won't take you long to study that. Gospel of John, beginning with chapter 13 on to the end of the book. I've recommended that to you before. I don't know, I'm not going to skip much, doesn't look like. Verse 20. Verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. I'm not praying for that close-knit group of disciples that climbed the hill when he preached the Sermon on the Mount and came close to him. That's not all. He said that that's not the only ones that I'm praying for, Lord. but for them that believe on me through their word. These disciples that heard the Sermon on the Mount, these disciples that saw the healing, these disciples that followed Jesus so closely throughout his life, he said, not only am I going to pray for them, but I'm going to pray for those that will believe on me through their word. There is a possibility, friend, and a probability that if you'll just talk about how good Jesus has been to you, that somebody will hear you talking about it and they'll be brought to accept, to believe, and to rejoice in the wonderful blessings that are there in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody believed on them because of their word, because of their message, because of their enthusiasm, because of their declaring the wondrous works of God. Somebody had talked and taken a message to those Greeks, if you please, that made the journey and came to Jerusalem and expressed a desire to see Jesus. They had received some information. The Greeks in that time, that particular portion of the history, were the intellectuals. If you'll excuse the expression, I kind of used to call them the eggheads. You know, they were the intellectuals of the day, the learned people. But yet some of the learned people, if you please, my friend, whenever they hear about Jesus, they spurn or turn away from their yearning, as you find the Apostle Paul did, as he reads in the third chapter of the Philippian letter. He said, those things were important to me. I counted but dung that I might win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of the Son of God. He said, I want to know Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being made conformable unto his death. That's what I want to know. I want to know more about Jesus. So read the third chapter of the Philippian letter, and you'll find what Paul was quite willing to give up for the sake of Jesus. Knowing, if you please, my friend, knowing upon many occasions that bonds and affliction would abide him wherever that he went. He said, I go bound in the Spirit, not knowing what's to befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost bears witness that in every city bonds and afflictions abide me. But he said, these things don't bother me, neither do I count my life very dear to myself, that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry that I've received of him. That they, verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. He said, I'm in you and you're in me. And that they all may be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now that world that's going to believe that God sent Jesus is a different world than that one up there at verse 14 that hated them. You can't put them both in the same category. There's no way you can put, here's a group of people that hates God, hates the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the world down lower later believing, that God really sent him. And the glory that thou gavest me, I have given to them. I've passed this on to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, that's Jesus in them, I in them, and thou, Father, in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world, there's more as that word again, 17 times, if you please, and yes, the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What world? The elect world, the redeemed world, the world that God sent his Son to redeem and love and all of those things. Father, now here's he getting down right down to the zenith, if you please, of his prayer. He's about to bring it to a conclusion. And he said, Father, I will. Father, I will. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? Thy will be done. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. He said later on, just next chapter, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Father, I will, listen, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that I may behold, they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. When will Jesus Christ, to the fullest degree and to the fullest extent, realize the fulfillment of that will that he said, Father, I will that those whom you have given me be with me where I am. I want them to be with me. I want them to be where I am, that they may behold my glory. When will Jesus and you along with Jesus see the total fulfillment of that will that he spoke of to his Father? You know, Paul said that he, in the Corinthian letter, he said that he must rule until all things have been put under his feet. And then shall he become subject unto him that put all things under him, that is God the Father. When Jesus will realize the total fulfillment of that which he said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. That'll be, if I understand it correctly, that'll be when all the redeemed family of God is brought forth out of the grave, raised in the glorious likeness and carried to the eternal presence of the God that loved him and gave himself for him. That's when Jesus will see the fulfillment. That's when Jesus will rejoice in the fact that the Father gave him his petition, granted his petition. Yes, I that they may go, which they gave me, you love me, you love me. God, Jesus is saying to the Lord, you loved me before the foundation of the world. Did you know that God did more than love Jesus before the foundation of the world? Did you know that he not only loved Jesus, but he loved you before the foundation of the world? And your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world? That's too much for me. That's too deep for me. I can't fathom that, my friend. But the book says it. The book bears it out, and so may we believe. O righteous Father, verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee, that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. As mentioned earlier, that I was curious about how many times Jesus prayed. I started with at the Feast of the Passover, the Last Supper, as we call it, the Lord's Supper, being instituted, when he blessed the bread and the wine. I believe that as he left that place, that the next thing that he did, where it was or whatever, I put this here because it seems to work so good to me. The prayer that he prayed in the audience, if you please, in the company of those disciples and followers of his. He was not in a closet, as he tells us to go sometime. He was not in a closet. It was not a closet prayer. There was the direct attention between him and the Father. But there were listeners. There were people that was hearing his desire and his message upon this occasion. Chapter 18, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, what words? The one that we just recorded. When Jesus said, he went forth with his disciples over the book Cedron, where there was a garden into which he entered with his disciples. Now we need to read Matthew and Luke along about this time. as well as John. But we, in order to find, as John gives us very little about the Gethsemane experience, though he gave us all about this 17th chapter of John, but we find that Jesus instructed, and when he came into this garden, and he instructed his followers, his disciples, he said, "You wait here while I go yonder." What for? And pray. He prayed the 17th chapter of John. He prayed whenever he blessed the bread and the wine. He prayed when he left his disciples, instructing them, if you please, instructing them also to pray. Pray that you enter not into temptation. He prayed. Jesus left the James and John, Peter, James, and John, left part of the disciples a little further and brought them a little closer and said, "Now you wait here while I go yonder and pray." What was Jesus' prayer when he prayed that time? "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done, O Lord. Jesus prayed. He came back to his disciples that he had told to wait with him. He came back to those that he had given instruction to pray that they enter not into temptation. He gave back to those close followers of his. And what would you expect to find them doing? When the Lord came back, you would expect them in such a short period of time, least of all, to be waiting for the Lord. What did he find them doing? He found them sleeping. He found them sleeping. Jesus made the third trip. I'm going to say this for brevity. Jesus made the third trip to where he could be alone with the Lord. And every time he made that little trip, leaving his disciples a short distance behind, some of them so excited and so anxious and so disturbed about what is going on that they went to sleep, Jesus made three trips and prayed three times. "Father, if it be possible." In the Gospel of Luke, I don't know where I can find it exactly right real quick. Maybe I've asked you better not to. Of course, this is my new Bible and it don't work near as good as my old one. But in the Gospel of Luke, we find where it says that he, Jesus Christ, being in an agony, prayed the more earnestly. And Luke 22. Thank you. Let's get that Luke 22, beginning with 39. "He came out and went as he was wont into the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed with him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray ye that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if ye be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Now, there has been some controversy over whether that was blood or was it sweat as blood. I can't make the scripture say anything other than his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood. But just lay that aside, regardless of whether he sweat blood in Gethsemane or not. It was the blood that he shed on Calvary that redeemed us. Whatever. He has redeemed us to God by his blood out of every nation, every kindred, and every tongue and people. And when he rose from the prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray that you enter not into temptation. Why do you sleep? Rise and pray. There's a reason for you to be praying. You know, whenever, I don't know how in the world those fellows worked that out. But I'm one of those guys, one of those people, you know, that whenever I'm really not satisfied with what I've been praying about, and I lay down and try to go to sleep, I don't go to sleep very well. I've got to take care of that. I've got to take care of the emergent, the immediate, important thing whenever that I strive like that. Oh, Luke. Oh, righteous Father. I'm back to John now. Jesus prayed three times in the garden. He prayed this prayer that was recorded in 17th chapter. It makes the fourth time. At the beginning or at the instituting of the Lord's Supper, they could make them two or one. There's either five or six times that Jesus had prayed. And then after that he was taken, after that he was brought before Pilate, after that he was delivered to be crucified, we find one of the prayers, another prayer of Jesus. Now, I may have missed other. Whenever they started to crucifying him, he said, Father, Father, isn't that the way you start to pray? You call for the Lord's attention. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. You know, the further I studied, I finally come to the conclusion, I don't know how many times he prayed. I really don't know how many times he prayed. Could it be so, my friend? Put yourself in Jesus' place for just a moment. Could you imagine being suspended between heaven and earth with your enemies on one hand and your friends on another hand, observing you giving up your life blood for the redemption of those you loved and not be in prayer? I can't imagine that. Oh, we know. Jesus went through an experience there. That's just awful hard for us to even fathom. There was 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness upon the face of the earth. Men had done everything they could to slay him, to take his life. But he said, I'm going to give my life. You can't take my life, but I'm going to take it. I'm going to lay it down. I've got power to lay it down, and I've got power to receive it again. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Was that a prayer? I believe that was a prayer. A prayer of confidence. A prayer of assurance. That indeed and in truth, my prayer is answered. Jesus went upon the mountain that he might commune with God. He prayed. And so it gives us great joy as we see that he said, Father, in the 24th verse of our 17th chapter, Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared thy name, and will declare it. that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. Yes, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of your love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. The wind-up, the final analysis of the whole thing. Jesus will never be thoroughly satisfied till every one of the redeemed host of God is housed with him in heaven and immortal glory, there to eternally praise his Master's name. I want to thank you for your kind attention. We're going to sing a song of some suitable selection. This is the time in our church service. Sometimes we get so excited about shaking each other's hands, and I love to do that. We overlook the fact that this is the time for reception of new members. And while we stand and sing, if there would be one or more that would desire to unite with this church, you'll come and let me know. We'd be glad to welcome you in any way authorized to receive members.